League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 5348 says you have to audition for the band.
That's what I thought.
You would think in Texas there has to be a fiddle in the band. Why wouldn't there a fiddle in the band for the Alabama. Houston Texans? Bring the band back. Somebody send me the $50 on Venmo. So I'm advocating for the band. Bring the band back, Hannah and Cal. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants the band back together again.
Everybody?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm advocating for the band. I got my $50, so I'm in.
I'm not interested.
I'm in. We'll send your Venmo and have them send you $50, and then the Killer Bees can advocate together.
I don't have a Venmo.
Oh. Do you have a Cash App?
No.
PayPal?
No.
Somebody can wire you the money?
Yeah, my wife.
Your wife's going to wire you the money?
No, my wife has the Venmo and all that. They could just send it to that account.
Your wife wasn't working this morning, was she?
No, she was not.
Did you hear what happened?
No.
I'll save it for off the air.
Something happened at the station?
I was watching the Today Show, and you know how they cut to local weather?
Uh-huh.
Somebody let the mic run on a little bit.
Ooh.
The mic was hot, and there was a word that went over the air that was shouldn't have been on over the air.
Oh, wow.
I looked at Twitter to see if anybody caught it. No one caught it. And I was going to – I feel like it's a Bush League thing to tweet. It's not a Bush League thing to talk about on the radio, though, because it's what we do here. Yeah,
sorry.
I think – I will leave names out. But, yeah, somebody dropped an F-bomb.
I'm pretty sure I know who was working that shift, but, yeah.
They cut to the local weather, and then, like, the local weather threw it back. They thought they were off. It ran on for about – it actually happened twice. First time they didn't say anything bad, though. Second time it happened again, and boom, little F-bomb. A little F-bomb before they sent it back to the Today Show. Yeah, it was funny.
I can't believe Caroline Brown would say that.
He wasn't a woman.
No, I know. I know exactly who you're talking about.
No, I think we've pretty much identified who it is now.
Sports fan, too.
Anyways, Tommy Jets. I don't know why he did a breakdown of Stephon Diggs, but he did. Did a breakdown of Stephon Diggs, and he asked the question, is Stephon Diggs on the decline? 713-780-ESPN, what do you think? I know what Ocho thinks. Ocho thinks he's on the decline. 713-780-3776, is Stephon Diggs on the decline? So Tommy Jets went and watched the last week 14, week 15, week 16 of Stephon Diggs to see what he could learn. He watched every single route that he ran, and he came up with three observations on each and every one of them. So what are we learning from what Tommy Jets learned of Stephon Diggs in week 14, week 15, and week 16? The first one, week 14, they were taking on Kansas City. His first note, inconsistent effort, frustrated. Second note was line of scrimmage usage, which, you know, how they're using him. And then three, dysfunctional offense. So what does that tell you about Stephon Diggs, and what does it tell you about Stephon Diggs with the Texans?
I don't think that right now it tells me anything about Stephon Diggs with the Texans. What it tells me more so than anything else is that there was a lot more truth than what everybody with the Bills was trying to cover up, and that was that he didn't like the situation. He got frustrated with his quarterback. When he wasn't involved in the offense, he could get probably tuned out a little bit. But at the same time, this is a fresh start, a new beginning, a new quarterback, a chance to again, for another situation, just like Minnesota, just like Buffalo. Now he's got a chance to do it again where he hits the reset button and he gets into a good situation that could be a very good situation for him. And then he rewrites his story and another chapter in it. I'm not going to put any of that, whatever he saw the last couple weeks of the season last year, especially since you also...
Well, you can tell if he's washed. I mean, if you saw an older player in the last 3 years, like, doesn't have any juice. He doesn't have any speed. He's not breaking away from opponents. You can tell that he's like, okay, he's down a step. He's maybe down two steps, and that's not a guy that you want to invest in.
Can you? Or
yeah, you can.
But can you say that if a guy is disillusioned and not invested in his team anymore because of whatever is ticking him off,
mm-hmm.
that he's not going to put the same kind of attention to detail to route running or effort or all those things?
Well, I think that's probably why you would look at this breakdown as a positive. Like, you can look at it as a positive and a negative. Like, the positive is that it's not, you know, juice. It's not athleticism. It's not speed. It's not breaking away from coverage. It's not the inability of getting open. Now, the negative of it is, like, Stephon Diggs has kind of been known as somebody who gets frustrated, which leads to inconsistent effort, and that's not something that you want to see. So it's like, okay, well, the Texans have to be very, very hyper-focused on keeping somebody happy, which they do have experience in. They did that with Steven Nelson last year. Line of scrimmage usage, okay, that doesn't really tell me anything about Diggs. It tells me a lot about the Buffalo Bills offense, so that doesn't scare me. And then the dysfunctional offense, same thing. Okay, that doesn't really say anything about Diggs. It's more about the usage of Diggs. So that to me, from at least a football perspective, like outside the lines perspective, was actually a pretty decent review on who I want Stephon Diggs to be with the Houston Texans. Week 15, they played the Dallas Cowboys. Here were his three takeaways from Stephon Diggs in Week 15. Lacking third gear, great stem and stack, route running, etc., and then three consistently open underneath. So this is the first time it's like, okay, well, he doesn't have that athleticism that he used to, lacking the third gear, but he's still route running at a very high level and consistently getting open underneath. So it's, again, it's a little good and a little bit of bad.
Yeah, I think that they were winning more. They were running the ball more. So at that point, you don't know where he is, again, with his psyche and his whole attitude towards whatever they were going to do and trying to do and what happens next. So I think to me it would be more that I would like to know, you know, from the standpoint of a bigger picture, a bigger sample size too, and be able to say, hey, look, at the start of the year when the season started, because I think that everybody has a good attitude at that point, at least in the early stages, you know, what were his routes like? What was his speed like? What were his gears like? You know, what was his ability to high point and attack footballs and make catches in traffic? So late season to me with what everything that happened with the Buffalo Bills, I guess the biggest concern would be the gear,
mm-hmm.
if he has that gear. But he's also coming into a system, unlike he had in Buffalo, where there's a whole hell of a lot of talent with the other receivers that he's going to have on a play with him.
Yeah, but that still doesn't really impact his ability to beat guys one-on-one.
But I think it does, because I think that depending on who they – if Nico is the opposite side of the football's defensive scheme is set around the fact that Nico's the one, I think that even if he doesn't have that same kind of gear against whoever he would be going up in regular circumstances against their best corner, if he gets a different matchup, I think that he could still get the best of them.
Yeah, but a lot of teams will, A, play zone, and then, B, not travel the best corner. So, like, yes and no to that. Like, if you're not traveling your best corner and you're still looking at your guy to beat another guy one-on-one, like, I was reading something on Sauce Gardner yesterday or the day before, they were saying, like, they might use Sauce Gardner to travel with the other team's number one more, because they've usually been, they line them up on one side of the football, which is really how the Texans use Derek Stingley for 98% of the year. Like, they wouldn't travel Derek Stingley with the other team's best receiver. Big part of that's because they played a lot of zone, and then fundamentally, D'Amico Ryans didn't believe in it. And remember, they got crushed by the Browns, and they weren't using Stingley to travel with Amari Cooper outside of one series. And I think they adjusted that in the playoffs whenever they beat them. So it depends on, you know, who they're playing. It depends on philosophy. It depends on who their corners are. The whole, like, sample size thing, like, it's back a baseball card. Like, if a guy loses his athleticism, it kind of goes like that. It goes pretty quick. So if a guy, and I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs is washed, this is more of a general conversation, but there could very well be somebody who was playing fine in the first month of last year, and then in the final month, you're like, okay, this guy doesn't have it anymore. He just does not have what he had back in his younger days to still be playing at that high of a level or to garner $25 million a year.
Now, granted, that could be the case. He could be hurt. He could be dinged up. He could be fighting injuries again.
None of that was out there.
But at this, but we don't know what we don't know what we don't know.
Well, I mean, NFL teams are obligated to report injuries, and if they don't, they get in trouble.
Right, but there's a difference between being injured and being hurt. Right, you could be not 100%, but you're going to play, and so you're that's one thing. And then secondly, you know that there's no escape route after the trade deadline. So you might be unhappy as hell, no matter what the team is doing or not doing. And so your level of engagement might reflect that. I feel like because of the fact that this is a prove-it year for him in a new situation, and we talked about yesterday the fact that he has to be on his best behavior as well as try to perform at his highest level, I really feel like you're going to get the best of Stephon Diggs, and I still feel like there's plenty left in his tank no matter what he did at the end of last season.
Yeah, and then the final one, the final game that that they looked at, low-quality targets, that's like pro Stephon Diggs because you would think he's getting better quality targets here. Two, consistently open. That's good news. Mm-hmm. Like, he's winning his matchups. He's finding holes in the zone. Right. He's finding open areas. He's finding windows for his quarterback to give him the ball. And the final one was poor quarterback play, which made me laugh because it's Josh Allen.
Yeah. Well, but, and again, maybe that is probably the most encouraging thing. But the fact that you can at least say, hey, he can get open. He can create space and give his quarterback an opportunity to throw him the football. Maybe that lends itself to some of the stuff I'm talking about. The fact that I think both sides probably at that point in the season already knew that this was going to be the last year for them to be together, and that, you know, there's a time for everybody to just tip their cap and go the other way.
You have all those points that you like stack them up together, where week one, inconsistent effort, frustrated, two, line of scrimmage usage, three, dysfunctional offense, the next week, lacking third gear, great stem and stack, though, consistently open underneath, and then the final one, low quality targets, consistently open, poor quarterback play. To put all of those together and come up with like one takeaway, I do think it's pro Stephon Diggs. Like, to answer the question, is Stephon Diggs on the decline? And then you look at those 9 points, I think that the answer would be, you know, no. Now, I mean, he's 30. Is he going to be as good as he was when he was 27? No. But is Stephon Diggs like washed? Are you scared of him being old? All of those things. I think if you look at this film study and you look at the review of the film study, I would say that it's pretty convincingly no.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that the only thing that might be a negative in terms of seeing if he, you know, from a value perspective has lost anything is the fact that he's going to be playing in a very talented offense where he might not get the kind of targets no matter what, and the reasons why that went with it. Things happened in Buffalo where he wasn't getting the ball and he was getting frustrated. I think this is going to be from the perspective of CJ's going to take the guy that's open. CJ's going to take the guy that he knows is the best opportunity to get chunk plays or good yards.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have to deal with that. But other than that, and where his stats line up at the end of the year because of the fact that there's so much talent around him is one thing. But can he get open? Can he be a viable big piece in this offense? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I think he will be too. I think that he's fine. I think he's only here for 1 year. But I don't think that he's washed. I still think he has a lot left in the tank. But it will be something that I'm monitoring. Like, it is a question. Do I feel comfortable saying that, no, I don't feel like he is washed or anywhere near it? Yes, I feel comfortable saying that. At the same time, am I going to be watching it from the corner of my eye? Absolutely, yes. 713-780-ESPN. You make the pick. Rockets at number 3. Who are we taking based on the latest ESPN mock? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
5348, did you just say washed? There's no R in that word. Wash. Oh, there's an R in that word when you're from the South. When you're a good old boy from Texas, you say washed. Put it in the washer. 713-780-ESPN. ESPN has their new mock draft us. Let's put our shoes in the our feet in the shoes of one Rafael Stone. Actually, before we do that, what did you think of the second game of the series yesterday, Pacers and the Celtics? We had a texter earlier that immediately texted in. Love seeing Derek White doing the post-game interview with Scott Van Pelt last night after Branham insisted he wasn't a star. I still don't think he's a star, but I do appreciate the burn. I tip my cap at you, sir.
I think that game went exactly as I expected it to, except for the fact that I didn't expect Halliburton to get hurt. I feel like talent-wise, Indiana was outmatched in the series, and that their best case to catch Boston is early in the series. If they could steal one at home, they do have a good home court. That couldn't have gone any worse for Indiana. I thought that they were going to lose the game. I didn't think they might lose Halliburton, and now if his status is in limbo at all, that could be an extremely quick series, like quicker than I even thought. that could actually be a sweep because they had the game in the palm of their hand in game one, and from a momentum standpoint, too, that is an absolute killer for a team to go on the road, put all that effort in to be in position to have the game and know that you could get home court for the series. Now not only do you lose, the way you lose kind of is a letdown for game two. Now you get your butt handed to you, and you lose your best player to an injury. I think Indiana could be very, very quick to be gone fishing.
Yeah, I think it's over. I think it's Vince Carter in the dunk contest. It's over. They said it was his hamstring. Yep. And, you know, hammies don't really, you know, they don't grow on trees. They're not better overnight. I'd be surprised.
Better hope it was a cramp. Because if it's anything more than that, because think about that, too. Their style of play is they need to super push the pace. And if you're pushing the pace with a hamstring.
Yeah, I don't think it was a hammy. I mean, I think he comes back out. Like, I know Carlisle melded in, but I think he comes back out. If it was a cramp?
No, I'm saying you better hope it was from the standpoint of his availability.
For sure. But if it was a cramp, we would have saw him. Because he never came back in the game,
that's what I'm saying. I don't expect him to play, or even if he can play, to play the style of play that they have to play to be competitive with Boston, I think they're done.
Carlisle got criticized for mailing it in. I didn't mind him mailing it in. Like, if he felt that sitting his starters for the final stretch of that game gives them like a 10% better chance to win game three at home, I don't mind him mailing it in. You weren't coming back to win that game. Nah. Like, Halliburton's out. I didn't mind him resting his starters. He got crushed for it. I actually didn't mind it. I thought it was strategy for game three. Get his guys rested, get them guys fired up, ready to go for the third game of the series.
Yeah, I don't think they had any chance to win, but I kept watching it when it was hovering around 10. If they could have gotten it to single digits, then I don't think that they had any business sitting their main guys. But the fact that they never could get it below 10, every time that they made a shot that got it to 11, Boston hit them with a three or two and punched them in the mouth a couple more times. And it was just one of those games where I never felt like Boston was in jeopardy of losing the game or a big lead.
All right, let's make the pick for the Houston Rockets. Number one, the Atlanta Hawks taking Alex Sarr in this new ESPN mock. So Sarr's off the board. The Washington takes the Frenchman. How do you say this guy's name? Zazir Risacher? I have no idea. No clue. I have never even heard it pronounced.
I'm bringing it back up.
He goes number two to Washington. So the Rockets, in this mock, they take Reed Shepard, the guard from Kentucky. We give ourselves the pick and then the next two. So you have the option between Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, and Matas Buzelis, who actually played for the G League Ignite, final year of the G League Ignite. That team's going to live in infamy. Who's your pick, though? If you're Rafael Stone, you're making the pick at three. You have the option between Shepard, Kentucky, Dillingham, a couple of Kentucky guys, or Buzelis, who played in the G League last year.
So let me start by saying I don't think Shepard should be taken as high as number three in this draft, no matter what.
We have a disagreement there.
I don't think Reed Shepard is the number three pick in this draft, based on just everything, the players in it, needs of other teams. I think if the Rockets want Shepard, they could trade down and still get Shepard.
I don't know, man.
Lower in this draft. But if you're going to make me choose between the three of them, and look, I like Buzelis as a possibility of really flourishing in a couple of years and filling out and being an above average player in this league with a lot of talent because he can handle the ball with some size. But I think if you're looking at if the Rockets are sticking and picking at three, Shepard is the best pick for them because you get a 40%+ 3-point shooter. You get a guy that can still jump. He's got a 42-inch vertical. You get a guy that has bloodlines because of the fact that his dad played too, and his dad played at a very high level. So I believe that he's going to understand the game. He's going to understand the fundamentals. Free throws aren't a problem. The guy's going to be fundamentally sound. And I think from a Rockets perspective, what do they sorely need? They need shooting. They've shown over the years. They made Gary Bird a folk hero because of the fact that he could make threes.
Yeah, but that was before Ime.
When they needed him. But I still think Ime knows that they need 3-and-D guys, too. We talked about even a Marcus Smart type. I think that he knows he needs shooting on this team. And if Shepard could play defense, too, that's a bonus. But I think if you just look offensively what they've lacked knockdown shooters, and I think he's a knockdown shooter.
We disagree a little bit on Reed. I have no problem taking Reed Shepard at number three. I think if the Rockets weren't there at number three, I think they would take it. It's a weak draft. Like, if this was an average draft, I would agree with you. But being a weak draft, I think he's NBA ready. I don't think he's as much like of a project. I think he can help you in year one. Some of the offensive analytics coming out of college rate him as the best offensive player in this draft. I think his shooting is the best shooting of this draft. So it kind of works hand in hand what you're talking about. And I think his athleticism is way better than people give him credit for, probably because he's a 6'3 white guy, if we're being completely honest. Like, he had the 42-inch vert. I think he's a lot faster and quicker than people give him credit for. His game intrigues me. The hang-up that I have is if Ime Udoka thinks he's good enough on the defensive end. Like, Ime Udoka has a baseline defensively with what he needs in order for you to play for him. And even though Shepard's more athletic than people think, he's not that tall. I know people have talked about his wingspan, which his wingspan's actually not bad. But he's 6'3". You know, look at Ime Udoka's guards over the years, like his wings. I'm not talking his point guards. His wings have usually been super long, that are really good laterally, have very good lateral quickness. My biggest question with Reed Sheppard is, does Ime Udoka think he's good enough to play in his defense? That's what I'm on the fence about. I don't really know. I kind of lean no. Like, I don't think that Ime Udoka would look at Reed Sheppard and be like, yeah, that's a guy that's going to be able to play for us on the defensive side of the ball. And if that's the case, I think they're going to cross off Reed Sheppard. That said, I'm very intrigued by the prospect of Reed Sheppard. I agree with you. I think he's the best shooter in this draft. I think he has some offensive creativity. I think he's got a high basketball IQ. I think he can help this team. And I think that he would be the pick for me at number three.
Yeah.
If given those options, Sheppard, Dillingham, and Bazulis, I'm going Reed Sheppard every time.
Yeah, I think he's the best fit for the Rockets. And it is a weak draft. I think the one thing that I would say that concerns me more than anything else about Reed Sheppard is, because I watched him play during the year, you and I talked about, he was able to step up big in the conference tournament, or going into the conference tournament, mm-hmm. you know, carried a team, scored all the points during the game, but at crunch time and down the stretch, hit a game winner, wasn't too big for the moment, and then all of a sudden in the tournament he flat out disappeared. And that, I had concerns about that.
It's a lot of stock in one game, though.
No, you're right. That's why I'm saying, I'm not saying it's a major thing for me, because of the fact that he did show during the year that he stepped up. But at the same time, tournament time, I expect the stars to really shine. And he was a complete no-show when Kentucky got bounced.
Yeah, he was. He was not good in that game. Now, is it too much stock in one game? I think that's up for conversation. But he wasn't good in that game. There's no doubt about that. 713-780-ESPN. Who would be your pick of those three? Sheppard, Dillingham, and Bazulis. Texter asks, is there a world where they trade down and get Klingon? I think if they're going to – I don't think so. Like, if they end up with Klingon, I think they have to stick and pick at three.
I don't really like him as a fit.
No, I'm with you on that. But if the Rockets were to end up with Klingon, they have to draft
him. That's my point.
They can't trade down and draft him. They have to stick at three and draft him if he's the guy.
Right.
I'm with you, though.
To my point, when I first said, I don't think Reed Sheppard's at three, because I think if anybody else had the number three pick but the Rockets, I think that they're going to look at a big. They're going to look at size, or they're going to look at the possibility of a project that has the potential to be to flourish as they mature and get a little fill out and get a little bit older. I think that Sheppard is a very steady, solid, good pick in this draft. I think he's a top 10 pick in this draft. I don't think that if anybody other than the Rockets had the three pick, that he would be the three pick in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to talk specifically about, like, which team, you know, what their needs are and stuff like that. The Rockets do need the shooting. His the NBA comp for Reed Sheppard on NBADraft.net is Mark Price. Which, I think Mark Price is a little bit more point guard than what they expect Reed Sheppard to be. I think Reed Sheppard's more of an off guard, actually. Like, I don't really see him running much point in the NBA.
He's Rex Chapman-ish to me in the fact that he's springy, and Rex Chapman was a really good three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And he had a really good career with Charlotte and Phoenix, being a guy as a two-guard that had energy, could finish on the break, had good hops, but could knock down the three ball.
I'll take that. What do you think of the Austin Reeves comp?
I think Austin Reeves is bigger. I think Austin Reeves for me is more versatile in terms of his ability, because he's already filled out a little bit more too.
I don't think he's as good an athlete though.
Who's a better athlete, Sheppard?
I think Sheppard.
I think Sheppard overall is a better athlete in terms of his quickness, his jumping ability. I think Reeves is more filled out and he can play physical.
He is bigger, yeah.
And he can defend that way. And, I mean, he's also very seasoned in the fact that once he got into the league, he proved he understood the game and the NBA game, which is an adjustment for some guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they're kind of two different players. But, I mean, if you get an Austin Reeves type, that's not a bad thing.
I see a little John Moran in Reed Sheppard.
Ooh, I can't go there.
I'm kidding. Yeah. 8240 says trade the third pick for Marcus Sasser. I'm down. Go Cougs, and then draft Jamal Shedd in the second. Let's go. 5623, pick the LeBron kid.
the fact that Vegas is now showing that there are numbers to state that Bronny could be the number one pick in the draft is absolutely ridiculous.
You know how that works. Like, why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't they put value on that? That way stupid bettors waste their money.
Absolute flat-out stupidity. The fact that I don't think he's going to get drafted in the first round. And the fact that he gets drafted in the second round, it'll be in the last 10 picks. It'll be in the 50s because the Lakers, I think, have 55.
Yeah. I mean, I could see a little politicking going on. I think that the Lakers draft Bronny James in the second round. I think a lot of this is just like, let's get people to make bets and we make money as a casino.
The only way he goes higher if a team wants to screw with the
Lakers. Yeah, but I just don't see it happening.
Like, you see that Rich Paul is his agent, of course, because all the different connections. And he came out today and said, and oh, by the way, Bronny's not a two-way. He won't sign a two-way deal with anybody.
Oh, really?
Bronny, you got to do what you got to do to be in the league, kid.
Well, he doesn't. He doesn't. You know why? Because it's LeBron James' kid.
The one safety valve is the fact that I don't think just being LeBron James' kid is one. The fact that the Lakers want to keep LeBron happy is
exactly.
The only thing he's got going for him to have a spot on a roster in the NBA.
Which is why he doesn't need to accept a two-way. And that's another way to politic for another team to not pick.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly how we saw it going. 3-4-5-1, why can't white players ever have black player comps? Mark Price and Shepard are completely different, LOL. I used to compare Stroud to Burrow, so I'm with you on that one. Do you draft Bronny at 3 if you know LeBron comes too? If LeBron called you, you're Rafael Stone. Again, we're putting our feet in Rafael Stone's shoes. He's really nice loafers. If LeBron called you, and, you know, I'm sure this would go through back channels. But, hey, you pick Bronny at number 3. The LeBron James camp's coming. I'm coming, too. Bronny's the pick. I'm coming to Houston. I'm joining the team. We're making it happen. Do you do it?
I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I hate it because I think that stunts the development and the growth of everybody else on this roster. I know from a marketing perspective, a ticket sales perspective, a media perspective, it would be this huge, massive deal. I don't think it wins you that many more games because of the guys around you. I don't think that it helps the development of Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore and guys that you want to see. And I know that's not what people want to hear. I don't like it. I don't care. I don't think, because Bronny's not going to help you. And what LeBron at his age does when he needs guys around him and he takes the time off and he does the things that he does and he has the ball in his hands all the time, if I'm the Rockets with a young roster, I don't want that.
Yeah, I would do it. LeBron James is far better than anything you're getting at number 3. And I do think LeBron helps teammates get better. Like, I think that he's a pretty good teammate, actually. He's a willing passer. I think he's very different than, like, this Harden conversation we talked about in the past. Absolutely, I would do that. Yeah, I get LeBron James for 2 years. I can have Bronny. Like, I don't really care that I have Bronny James. I'm drafting Bronny because LeBron's coming. And I actually think he makes I think he can help the young guys develop. I think that they would learn a lot from LeBron.
I'm not saying it to slap LeBron in the face, but I don't think that he wants to take the time to work with an entire roster, basically, or the majority of the roster of young players, because I think he's still chasing down wins, playoffs, and trying to catch Michael.
I think that team's winning a lot of games, though. You, nothing else changed. You have Fred VanVleet. You have Jalen Green. You have LeBron's now your 3. You got Jabari. You got Alpi Shingun. You got Dylan Brooks coming off the bench. You have Amen Thompson coming off the bench. You have Tari Eason coming off the bench. You have Steven Adams as your backup big. That's a playoff team. That's a team that wins 45 games easy.
I think it's a playoff team. It's a back end of the playoffs. Playoff team.
West is tough.
Yeah, I don't think it wins. I don't think it wins a playoff series. I don't think he relies on Anthony Davis and other guys.
I think that Rockets team's better than this Lakers team, though. Like, if LeBron came to the Rockets next year and that Rockets team that we just rattled off, I think beats this Lakers team, because this Lakers team's really not, I mean, it's stars and scrubs. It's LeBron, Anthony Davis, and a bunch of role guys. That Rockets team, I think, is a better team. They're deeper, much deeper.
Deeper, for sure. But I don't know that that they're ready yet in terms of being able to play the type of basketball that LeBron is going to expect for them to play, that at least the Lakers understand how to play when you get guys like Reeves and Davis and some of the guys. Because there's pieces that I can't stand with the Lakers, but there's also some good pieces.
I'm here for the entertainment alone. That would be so much fun. Like, I hate LeBron. Like, hate's a strong word. I do not like LeBron. Like, I do not like LeBron at all. I am not a LeBron guy at all. But it would be a lot of fun to have that circus here for a couple of years. And I think they're a playoff team. I think that'd be a fun team to watch for a couple of years. Yes, I would do it. I would draft Bronny if LeBron tells you that he's coming, if you draft Bronny.
You don't think
3.
That it's the growth of the young guys?
Not really. No, I think LeBron, LeBron's a willing passer. At this stage of his career, he wants to play less minutes. I think it helps their growth. And like those guys being able to rub shoulders or rub elbows with LeBron, I think would benefit them.
I think it hurts the development, specifically when I'm in Thompson.
Why?
Because he you want to see if he can be a point guard. You want to have the ball in his hands. You want to see his development. And he's not going to get any of that. Even from a Jalen perspective, Jalen's going to be playing second fiddle at best to LeBron, handling the ball more and demanding and basically dictating what they do in the offense. I don't think that helps Jalen Green at all, getting ready to have to make a big decision on whether you pay him or not.
I mean, LeBron was trying to be a little bit more off ball last year. Like, he took 18 shots a game last year, which was way down from 22 a game. How many did Dylan Brooks take last year? So, like, are you really losing that many shots? Are you really using that
like
much
Fred
usage
VanVleet's
or ball
lose
in their
a
hands?
Lot of shots.
Which I'm okay sure. with.
Right, but I look, from the perspective of, I agree that they'd be a playoff team. I agree that they would make the playoffs.
He took 11. Dylan Brooks took a little under 11 shots. LeBron took a little under 18. So you're 7 more shots a game. Ball will be in LeBron's hands more than it's in Dylan Brooks, but I don't think it's crazy. Like,
LeBron's facilitating for sure.
Yeah, well, yes, he's facilitating.
They ran most all of their offense through him.
I don't think he wants that. I don't think he wants that at this stage of his career. I think he'd be happy to have a point guard that can, you know, really control the offense and then, you know, give it to him to set plays and things like that.
I think you discount the fact that he gets very frustrated if he's not facilitating and things don't go well.
Yeah, and I think ISO is kind of his game. 713-780-ESPN. Who said it? Everybody's favorite game. What did ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5 say during the week? Well, we guess who said it. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a minute for my good friends at Bull Shirts. Bull Shirts are phenomenal. They do so many great things here in the Houston area. You know them, but you don't. Whether you know the name or not, you know the company that does the T-shirts for the big runs, for the Astros, for the Rockets over the years. They've been in business for like 40-some years, and they've been doing it for everybody in the Houston area and beyond. But the great thing is they're local here, so if they help you, you can do everything you need to do, and if anything goes wrong, if there's a mistake on the order or you need something more or another run, they're here locally to make sure they take care of it, they fix it, and they get it to you right on time. You don't have to worry about shipping and does it get here on time because of the deliveries. Nope, it's all taken care of, and it's all kinds of things. It's not just T-shirts. It's promotional items. You need a tent for a golf tournament? They got you. Or a tailgate party. How about a family reunion you got coming up and you need T-shirts? Got that too. Golf tournament gift pack and you're looking for all kinds of tchotchkes and promotional items and all the things that you want to put a logo on for your business that makes sense to give to people that you're trying to impress? It's Bull Shirts. Check them out right now. Start the process. Bull-shirts.com. Like I said, locally owned and operated, been in business doing it for Houstonians and others for years and years, decades, if you will. They take care of from the top of the line teams like the Rockets and the Astros to your family reunion or your business and your next big venture. Check them out today and tell them I sent you by. They're the best in the business. It's bull-shirts.com.
ESPN 97. Brighter. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it. He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
This texter says, Emay would figure it out, Joel. Have some faith. Which made me think about what Emay's pet name for LeBron is. Remember? I forgot about that. Remember they got into it on the sideline? And yeah, Emay called
remember,
him his pet.
I don't remember what he called him.
Well, I can't say.
I know you can't say it now.
Joe calls might call his cat this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got it.
Called him a soft boy. And then there was a word in between that, too. Yeah, I forgot that Emay and LeBron had that little tiff.
LeBron's busy picking the next coach for the Lakers.
They said he don't want any part of that.
Say
the only part of that. All right, let's get to who said it. No Brian today. It is instead Austin Rodriguez. But Brian did all the hard work on this. Did we find out if this was last week or this week?
I think it's from last week.
All right, what do we got? Number
so you
one.
Didn't find out.
Quote number one.
All right. He's not injury prone. He's not. He had an injury because you put him at guard on the goal line. The dude gets shot and he's okay. That's not injury prone.
Whoa. Huh. They're talking about Tank, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that this sounds like a Paul one to me. Paul takes exception when people call injury-prone guys injury-prone.
Does he?
Yeah, he was mad whenever I called Lance McCullers soft.
Really?
Yeah. No, he wasn't mad. He just thought it was a ridiculous take. He wasn't mad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll trust your intuition plus, on
this
one.
Plus, I think Paul is willing to go to the he got shot, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear that part of it, but yeah, I no flip it, Austin. It's an adjustment.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear it as well as you did. So if you're, I'm confident going with you if you think it's.
Yeah, let's go, Paul Gallant.
He's not injury prone. He's not. He had an injury because you put him at guard.
He also
on the goal line. The dude gets shot and he's okay. That's not injury.
I did hear it a little wrong. Hopefully he's not injury prone. They need to stop using him in the box though. That was ignorant. That was
completely
the worst
ignorant
thing that Bobby Slowick did all last year. All right, number two.
All right, so number two. Everyone eats Play-Doh. That's just like a part of life. You eat Play-Doh. Play-Doh's the best. It's like a little salty.
Joe George. Oh,
you think it's Joe?
Sounds like Joe right off the top because of all the people on this station who would eat Play-Doh.
I'm with you. All right, let's do it. Joe George.
Joe George.
Everyone eats Play-Doh. Yeah. It's just like part of life. You eat Play-Doh. Play-Doh.
Back on track. Awesome.
He must be talking about his kid. I think he's talking about his kid.
A little salty?
You don't think back in the day in Chicago, Joe George ate a little Play-Doh?
No, yeah, but I think he's talking about like in the young part of one's life is whenever you try Play-Doh.
Yeah, I'm sure he was dealing with the junior.
Why is it salty?
I don't know.
You ever had a little Play-Doh in your mouth?
I guess so back in the day.
I think I have to. All right, number three, one for two here.
All right, this one's a little long, so I know that, you know, if you mix oil and water together, the oil goes to the top, right? I believe. I don't know. Does the vinegar go to the top? The cream always goes to the top is the farming saying, it feels like. And I'm just unfamiliar with that. I'm a city boy.
I'm a city boy.
City boy. That's the key, huh? First thought, right? When he's reading it,
yeah,
I could hear Dell saying it.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Yeah, it's either Dell or Lance. Did Dell grow up in a city? He grew up in L.A., didn't he?
Florida or California?
I think he was born. I think in his early life he was from L.A. and then moved to Miami.
Okay. All right.
I think Paul.
Johnny G. Chicago.
Yeah, but
I don't think he's going
to
use it.
I could see either Lance or Dell saying this. I think Paul is too smart to say it, or thinks he's too smart to say it.
The way that Austin read it, I could hear Dell saying
it. Let's do it. Dell. Olalea.
I know that, you know, you mix oil and water together. The oil goes to the top, right?
Dank.
All right.
We got deked on that one.
One and two right now.
All right, number four.
All right, number four. Dune needs a spinoff. And guess what? Dune is getting a spinoff on HBO. That's awesome because that universe is so crazy and very difficult to understand without subtitles. Hard Knocks, you're right. We don't need more.
What?
Spinoff on HBO.
What's a spinoff, though?
Like a spinoff
of
a show.
Hard Knock?
He's talking about a show, someone that's been like a lesser than character on a show that needs his own spinoff. That sounds like to me.
Why did Hard Knocks come up?
I was going to say, because I think I think it's about a spinoff of the movie Dune or show Dune. Don't know which one it is, and then we have all these we have all these different Hard Knocks. You have the in season. I think they just had an off season one announced.
So here's what I think. He has Michael Carroll on a lot. He and Michael Carroll, as well as he and Sean, they like to go off the sports beaten path, and they talk about different sitcom shows on different platforms and things like that. So I'm going to say it's Dell.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's do it.
Dune needs a spinoff, and guess what?
Is that
Dune
the third
is getting a spinoff.
Second.
That's awesome.
Brutal.
But I was almost for sure that was Dell, because he always has several where they get off the beaten path talking about different sci-fi and different shows.
I can't I never pre-listened to these. I thought that was Dell too.
Yeah. Oh well. All right, number five.
All right, final one.
Brian's always trying to get us.
Presley giving up a run is like when you're watching a TV show or movie, and maybe this particular episode isn't about the villain, but, you know, he gets one scene to remind everyone that the villain still exists.
Lance, I think it's Dell or Lance.
Or Dell.
Yeah. I would say it's... that one's tough. We've already lost.
I know, which sucks.
Let's go Dell.
He hasn't used Dell yet, right?
I mean, he hasn't used Lance either.
Yeah. That's fine. We'll just go Dell because we lost, and that sucks.
Yeah, let's just do Dell.
Presley giving up a run is like when you're watching a TV show or a movie, and maybe it's this particular episode isn't about the villain.
Two for five.
But, you know,
I cannot believe that other one was not Dell.
I know. He got us. He got us.
He bamboozled us into that.
He knew that's where our line of thinking was. And you know that because Brian wasn't reading it, like, it made me not think of Brian's tells. You know what I mean? Because Brian, like, we can see usually his bluff, or we can hear his voice and be able to sniff out the bluff. But because it wasn't him reading, I couldn't sniff out the bluff this
time.
And
he selected him, but made Austin read him, which makes it more difficult.
It does. It really does. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who are the top 10 Houston athletes right now? We're talking big three pro teams. Who are the top 10 Houston athletes at this very moment? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about the good people at X Golf and the fact that if you're a golfer, this is the place you got to go. You got to check it out, because if you check it out once, it's going to be on your calendar to get there on a pretty consistent basis. And a lot of times you should also keep it the number in your phone, because the fact that if you reserve simulation time on one of the best simulators I've ever been on, you know that if your tee time gets rained out or you get off of work and you're like, man, I'd really like to hit some golf balls, where should I go? You go to X Golf, because especially if you want to mingle with some people too, it's the best combination of a great sports bar with great food, beverage, and tons of TVs with 8 of the best golf simulators you're ever going to find in your life. And the combo platter means you can go and hit balls for an hour or literally play 18 holes of golf, because you don't have to drive to your ball or walk to your ball and do those other things that are time consuming. You can get around in about an hour and a half or less. And if you really want to push it, more like an hour. And then when you're done, mingle, get some good food, grab a few beverages, watch some games, socialize with some folks too. It's absolutely phenomenal. The only X Golf simulators, by the way, in the Houston area are at X Golf Katy. Look it up online. Make a reservation to get a simulator in some time and check it out, because you can use it like a golf range, or you can play 50 courses worldwide, real courses that are right there on the simulator. And the fact is, from the putting and chipping all the way up to the driver and every club in between, it is just like hitting a golf ball on the course. That means you're going to be able to track everything with Shot Tracker, the distance, the spin, the direction. It's all there under one roof. And if you go there once, especially as a golf fan, you're going to be back there again and again. Check them out right now, X Golf Katy online. Just call them up. Check out reserving a simulator time. And you and your buddies, if you want to get your foursome together, you can play golf in a quarter of the time. And then you guys can hang out, watch TV, watch sports, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm hooked. I can't tell you enough great things about this place, but you need to check it out for yourself, because if you be there once, you're going to be there a lot. Check them out today, X Golf Katy, right now.
ESPN 97.5.
What's up, y'all?
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Top 10 current Houston athletes in the big three. Right now, top 10. CJ Stroud's number one. Kyle Tucker's number two. Jose Altuve's number three. Yordan Alvarez is fourth. Will Anderson's at five. Jeremy Pena's sixth. Alperen Şengün 7. Justin Verlander 8. Tank Dell 9. Go Cougs. Number 10 is Nico Collins. My top 10. Stroud, well, Tucker, Altuve, Alvarez, Anderson, Pena, Şengün, Verlander, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. You want to nitpick mine, or you want to give me yours?
I'm going through it as I thought this was from an article or something. From my perspective, I think right now, as we sit here today, I think Jose Altuve is number one. I think Jose
We're talking about current form, current playing, right now, this moment.
Okay.
I mean, how can he be ahead of Tucker?
Yeah, the criteria, I'm just saying, just because he's got the sway of the skins on the wall from the standpoint of World Series championships and MVP and all the things that he's done and continues to do, and he hasn't slipped off yet.
Back a baseball card.
That too. and the fact that he's still performing at a high level. I think if you're just talking about right now, because football has normally been king in Texas and king in Houston, I would say CJ should be number one from the perspective of just overall ability, popularity, high ceiling, and the fact that he's coming off the best rookie season in the history of the NFL from a quarterback perspective. So I would say, from that perspective, CJ's one, Tuck is two, Altuve is three. I would say, boy, I don't see a Rocket getting close to the top. There's no Rocket in the top five for sure.
Yeah, my only one was at seven.
That's Alpi?
Yeah. Yeah, I hesitated putting him seventh.
Yeah, I think that seems high.
I almost put him 10th, but I felt a little bit of, I feel like I was hating on the Rockets by having them that low.
Yeah, so I'll say CJ 1, Tuck 2, Altuve 3. I'll say, boy, between Will Anderson and Nico. Nico had a monster year last year. Will was a higher pick. Okay, for the sake of it, I actually think those two are going to go back-to-back. So I'll go Will Anderson, and I'm going to put Nico Collins in there because of the fact that, again, with football, I think that he is one of the bigger names, and he's at the top of his game. So that's my top five. Then coming out of that, Yordan is six because he's not playing. He's not at his highest level right now. I got four left. You put Verlander in there?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I have Verlander ahead of Tank and Nico, which you could nitpick. I could see that.
Yeah,
But, I mean, he is the ace of the team.
He is, but I think Fromber's got better stuff at this point.
You putting Fromber ahead of Verlander?
Not because of his mental. I can't. I want to, but I can't because of what we just saw. I mean, I don't want to delay the show. To me, you can look a lot of different ways. I think Alpi's 10 for me. I don't know that how Alpi could be higher than 10 if he's the Rockets' best player, just because of the fact that he still has stuff to prove, and I don't think he's at the level of Verlander or Fromber, or the fact that you could throw Stingley in the mix there. I mean, you could throw some of the guys that they just got in free agency that you don't know what they're going to do for sure, but you know, when you start talking about the guys that they brought in free agency, and Danielle Hunter could be a guy that ends up being right there in the, you know, at six or seven, because of the fact that if he does a season like he did last year on a team that like this,
that would be current. That would be current. That's like, that would be doing current in a year. Like, that's not doing current currently. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's hard for me to put somebody that hasn't played a single player snap in a Houston uniform. 713-780-ESPN. I'm surprised you had Yordan ahead of, or below Anderson and Nico.
Because Yordan right now, I think, not that it's a slap in his face, but I don't think he's performing where he has in the past. And right now, at this point in the season, I think he's underachieved a little bit.
Yeah, but his bad is still probably better than a few of these. Corey, did I miss it, or was Pena not on the list? Pena was number six on my list. I went Stroud, Tucker, Altuve, Yordan, Will Anderson, Pena, Shingun, Verlander, Tank Dell, Gokugs, Nico Collins. My honorable mentions, Laremy Tunsil and Derek Stingley. For the Texans, which...
You're higher on Tunsil than I am.
I mean, Tunsil's one of the top five left tackles in the entire league.
I don't know if he still is.
I think you're poo-pooing on Laremy Tunsil a bit.
More penalties.
I think he's pretty stinking good. Astros, my two honorable mentions were Fromber and Josh Hader, but Fromber, you know, we're talking right now, and his last start, he went rogue. And then Josh Hader got off to a bit of a slow start. And then my three Rockets, they weren't even really honorable mentions. They were just guys I considered. Jalen Green, Amin Thompson, and Jabari Smith. 713-780-ESPN. So, yeah, Pena was on the list, Corey. 5798, top 10 Houston athletes right now. Altuve, Stroud. I don't know how Altuve's won currently.
A lot of people think Altuve's won.
But there's no way he could be currently ahead of even Kyle Tucker.
I think that just from the legendary but I'm just saying, from a legendary status as well as the fact that he hasn't really fallen off this year, I think that Altuve, in a lot of people's minds, is number one.
Not necessarily fallen off, but Tucker could very well be the MVP. Like, and if Tucker's the MVP and he's the best player on the team, how is he not ahead of Altuve on current players? And then the Stroud thing throws a wrinkle into things, but I don't see how there's any way you could have Altuve ahead of Tucker if you're talking about current athletes playing right now. Now, Altuve and Olajuwon are my two greatest of all time in this city, mm-hmm. but we're talking right now, 2024, Tucker's ahead of Altuve. 50 games into the year, Tucker might be better than anybody else in Major League Baseball when it comes to swinging the bat. 8998, Honey Glaze Branham, CJ. He went CJ number one. He's trolling because he went Altuve two. He went Bregman three.
But I had CJ
That's
two.
Where the troll is. No, I had CJ two as well.
Okay.
But the troll is Bregman.
Oh.
No, yeah. I had Stroud one. Like, I had Stroud one. But the troll here is Bregman. Like, he had Bregman three. Tank four, JV five, Yordan six, Nico seven, Jalen Green, 8, Will Anderson 9, 10 Diggs. He said he based this list on popularity, both good and bad, whoever's name is mentioned the most. Well, if you're going off of that, okay, he said Jose A. I wonder if he meant Jose Abreu.
Can I throw a wrinkle into this and say D'Amico might be on the list and not be a player?
He's not an athlete.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's not an athlete. He's a coach.
So at the top, he could be getting to the top of his game and extremely popular.
Yeah, but I just couldn't consider him an athlete.
All right.
Top 10 Houston athletes right now, 5, 7, 9, 8. Altuve, Stroud, Tucker, Yordan, Verlander, Anderson, Shingun, Pena, Fromber, Stingley. See, I had a tough time with Fromber being on that list. Stingley's super close, but I'm not sure if I'm putting Stingley ahead of Nico or Tank.
I think Fromber, ability-wise, could be on the list for sure and could be actually be in the top five of this list for me. But that mental aspect, that I just can't.
No, I think because it comes down to total performance.
Yeah.
You know, it comes down to the total performance. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Let me ask you something. That book we got, I don't know if we ever had the guy on or not, but that top 50 Astros of all time.
Yeah, I've been making my way through it a little bit more recently than ever before.
Yordan at 23. Is that high for a guy who's still this early
is
in
he
his
that
career?
High? I didn't know he was 23.
Yeah, he was 23.
I
thought that, to me, for just at first glance when I got to, I thought 23 was a little high for him because of the fact that there's still so much we don't know unwritten about the rest of his career.
He's been pretty stinking good, though.
Yeah.
And he's been big and huge.
Well, the
moments.
Big moments have been there, but now he's got to do it for the longevity.
Sure, but to be 23, I think it's fair. Like, longevity, you're talking about cracking the top five. You're talking about moving up the list.
But it's not like the Astros have had a lot of schleps either that you could fill up.
Well, who's around them?
I'd have to go back and look.
I've been reading it the last few days. Like Bob Watson had a great career. Bob Watson's in the top 10.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
So I mean, like, you know, Yordan being 26 or whatever you said, and you have like you look at then you look at the rest of like go look at the rest of the top 25 and see the names that he's next to. I think you'd be like, yeah, I'll take Yordan. All right, 713-780 ESPN. Stroud, Tucker, Altuve, Yordan, Anderson, Peña, Shingun, Verlander, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. That's my top 10 current athletes in Houston. Where did I go wrong? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Where I went wrong was leaving off some Sabercats from this list, but they would have made out my entire top 10. I wanted to make it fair. I wanted to make it even. Sabercats, the best thing going right now in Houston sports. They're 10-1. They're in first place in the Western Conference. They're not running away with the Western Conference, but they lead the Western Conference, top of the table, and they're trying to bring a trophy home to Houston. Next game for the Sabercats is June 8th when they host RFC LA. That's right, Los Angeles coming into town. We know how we feel about teams from LA. So get out to Sabercats Stadium at 7 o'clock on June 8th to cheer for your Sabercats to beat another hated LA team. June 8th is also 713 night, and they'll be honoring H-Town, taking care of the city with cheap tickets, $7.13. You can get in for $7.13. Take advantage of that as the Sabercats are paying, you know, they're giving you a little bit of love representing Houston on H-Town Day, 713 night. Special guests in attendance will include Hall of Famer Calvin Murphy. Others will be there as well. More surprises yet to come. And get your tickets now at HoustonSabercats.com/tickets. Also, when you mention ESPN 97.5, actually, when you order online, just use promo code ESPN20, and you're going to receive a 20% discount. That's right. Get your tickets for any game in June for 20% off tickets. Use promo code ESPN20, ESPN20, when you're checking out to receive the discount. It's that simple. So go watch your first place Sabercats. Have a great time. Have a ton of fun. And save some money whenever you use promo code ESPN20 for 20% off your tickets. It's only at HoustonSabercats.com. That's HoustonSabercats.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelda providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelda can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.